Merit Hashem, today we're on page 59, Siman Yud Tes. So yesterday we started Siman Yud Tes, and we talked about that very famous thing, that tzitzis is an obligation on the person. It's an obligation on the person, not on the object. And we discussed that lamdash idea. And also then we talked about mezuzah, because Mishmur said mezuzah is similar. It's an obligation on the chovas adar, on the person. So in other words, it's not on the house. So as long as you're not living in the house, it could be your house, but you're not living there, so or your apartment or whatever. If you're not living there, so then you don't have to put a mezuzah on there. And then we talked about, we ended off with that interesting shaila from Birkei Yosef, that the Birkei Yosef questions, if you have mezuzahs up, but then you leave the house for some time, a few days, so when you come back, you have to make a new bracha on the mezuzahs. So we talked about that, and we came out to Birkei Yosef, comes out that you do not have to. Okay, so let's go on to base. Again, Yud Tes base, so that's the first base that we have on the page. Asa tzitzis l'tzorech tachrichim. So if you made tzitzis you made a garment for tachrichim. Everybody knows what tachrichim is.
Shrouds.
After, even sounds dark. But actually, that's going to play into this. For Bizman Svansik, right? Now, it's interesting, people bought these early. As a school or whatever, want to make sure they was the material they wanted. There was a famous story that there was a Rebbe who I think he lived in Europe, but he was visiting a certain city in America. Maybe he was in America already. And he was suddenly nifter. So obviously, you know, this happens very often. There was a fight between two cities, you know. City he was from said he should be buried where, you know, there. And the city where he died, I think it was Detroit, said no. Somebody found in his stuff that he brought with him, tachrichim. So they took that as a proof that, he should be buried in Detroit. And he is. He's buried in Detroit. So, so again, people used to do this. So now, let's say it's four-cornered. So do you have to put tzitzis on it? So you'll say, why, you know, after a person's not alive, right? That's why we call them a nifter, or a nifteris, right? Because they're putter, they're absolved from mitzvahs, right? A person, after 120, can't do mitzvahs anymore. So that's why we got to, you know, run and make sure we do everyone we can. So the Machaber answers that question. In other words, a person's not alive anymore. Why would you have to put tzitzis on it? He says, Afal pi shelov shel lefamim b'chayev, even though you might wear it sometimes while you're alive, potter. You don't have to put tzitzis on it. Now, maybe a person would wear it during their life as a musr idea, right? To be like a tzir chushi, right? You know, this is the way. Or I don't know, you know, people, like they talk about this, people in the old days, they didn't have that much, you know? Again, I don't know the time of the Machaber, but certainly between the wars, you know, Ashkenazi Jews didn't have that much. I mean, I'm not saying everybody was poor. I'm not saying that. But, so again, maybe at night you're a little cold, so, you know, like you need something. So even though that might be true, still you do not have to put tzitzis on that garment. So the question is, why not? So the answer is that this would go according to the Rush, right, like we've been talking about before, who says that if you have a ksus laila, if you have a nighttime garment, So then even if you wear it during the day, it's pater. Nighttime garment, why would it's not pajamas? Teretz is, but you know, after a person passes away, that's night. Right? That's night. So therefore that's considered night. And therefore, according to the Rosh, he would you not have to put tzitzis on it. I know what you're gonna ask. Yeah, but that's so according to the Rosh, according to the Rambam, bichayev. Right? If it's a garment, even if it's a nighttime garment, right, that's what the Rambam holds. If it's a nighttime garment and you wear it during the day, we go by the time, not by the garment. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah comes out, you're right. So therefore, you should put tzitzis on it, but don't make a bracha. Right? Then, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a very interesting case. Mochrei abagadim, people who sell clothes. So in other words, we see, again, where the similar Shiloh is by shatness. So in other words, what they used to do is, they used to walk around with a suit, or maybe even a few suits, and you saw the guy, Mr. Taylor or whatever, I don't know, right? Mr. Joseph A. Bank, walking around wearing a suit. So, right? So, I like that suit, that's a nice, right? So either you order for it, or maybe he was wearing something, right? He was a walking rack. Right? So the question is, let's say again, in the old days they had four-corner garments. So the guy's walking around with a four-corner garment, but the reason why he's walking around like that is not because he's wearing it, it's because he wants to show it off, you're right? He has clothes on, and then above it, he has the Joseph Bank gold suit, right? To show, like, I like that. So what the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says, they would not have to put tzitzis on that. Again, it's a four-corner garment, let's say it's a right, Joseph Bank gold four-corner garment suit, whatever, right? We always have so then he brings down an interesting, but if he's wearing it in order to get around paying taxes, so then he'd have to put tzitzis on it. After the Chofetz Chaim says, maybe. Okay, so let's go on to Chof, Simon Chof. Din lekichas umechiras talis. The halachas of buying and selling a talis. Halokeach, so Aleph, the Machaber says, lokeach talis mitzuyesis meYisrael. So if you buy a talis that has tzitzis on it, right? In other words, it's ready to go. Bought a garment, and the garment has tzitzis on it. Right? You went on, I guess the modern thing, went to a Judaica store, which, there are not so many anymore. You went online, you went to I don't want to say a name, something online, right? You can buy a talis, right? And they put the tzitzis on it, let's say you buy it that way, you tell them you want the tzitzis on it. So then, or mitagar eno yudi, or even if you buy it from a merchant, a non-Jewish merchant, but he sells he sells a bunch of things. So one of the things he sells is a talis. He sells talisim, right? And the Rama adds, the Omer Shalacham Yisrael, and then the non-Jewish salesman says, I bought it from a Jew, right? Yisrael Neman, a trustworthy Jew. So then, kosher. In both those cases, the tzitzis are kosher. The Jew you bought it from, and also even the non-Jew who you bought it from.
So we believe a non-Jew in this case?
Oh, we'll say, that's exactly what we're going to be discussing. Why? So the Machaber says, Kivan de Targarhu, very interesting swara. Since he is a merchant, person is a merchant, who you bought it from, Chazaka Shalacha Miyisrael. So even by the non-Jew, the chazaka is, there's a status that he got it from a Jew, right? And he's, according to the Rama, he's saying he bought it from a Jew. Dlomara nafshe, and therefore he doesn't want to mess himself up. In other words, he's scared, the non-Jew's scared, that he says, I bought it from, Mr. Sofer. Mr. Sofer, who he's the one I'm dealing with, and I bought it from him. So now what? So since he said that, right, according to the Ramah, so what? I'll check it out. I'll call Mr. Sofer, or Rabbi Sofer, whatever, and I'll ask him, do you really sell to Mr. Bezos, right? Is that true? So again, he's scared of that. He's worried about that. He doesn't, in the old days, again, there used to be something as a trust, right? The trust, I was speaking to someone yesterday and today, a contract's not worth anything anymore, right? Even ironclad doesn't mean anything, right? In the old days, right, a handshake, right? When we sell chametz to a guy, one of the kinyanim we do, show a commitment is we shake his hand. Before COVID, we had to leave that. But at least, and I remember the old rabbanim saying to, and I used to say to the guy, by us a handshake, sorry. And the guy, usually was trustworthy. He said, by me too, a handshake. It's a commitment, right? So again, it used to be trust, right? Not so much anymore. But anyways, so there's this svara we all check it out. Now the Mishnah Berurah says that he brings from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says this is only by tzitzis that we believe him, because non-Jews don't normally twine tzitzis. So like where did he get this? So he says he got it from a Jew. And maybe, according to the Rama, he even says, which Jew? He says that he got it from a trustworthy Jew, according to the Rama. So therefore, we believe him. But for other things, like, even don't go that far. Let's say the strings, right? The strings themselves. So, how do you know? Maybe he got it, maybe the strings. So, now again, yes, there is a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah that brings the Taz and the Rechaim. They are lenient, and so then he brings down the Malbim. The Aris Chaim says that when this guy his business is to buy, we know from Jews and from so then we assume that he's okay even for the tzitzis. But again, it's a very interesting concept.
What if he won't reveal the name of his?
So that was going to get to that. So that was the Mishnah Berurah. Excuse me, Mishnah Berurah Gimel, because that gets involved, because the Rama says that he says he bought it from a trustworthy Jew. So the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion on that. The Mishnah Berurah first brings down the Lavush. The Lavush says he doesn't have to say that he bought it from a trustworthy Jew. But even if he got it from any Jew, it'd be kosher, right? And the Mishnah Berurah says other Achronim agree with that. So it would seem that, again, as long as we could track it down, as long as we could, again, he says he bought it from, so we have this svara that he wouldn't, mara nafshe, so we believe him. But, avo, back upstairs. But let's say you just bought it from a guy, right? Somebody walked by you, I'll buy it some scissors. Watch, tell, right? So then the halacha is psula. So then it's no good. You can't buy that. You shouldn't buy that, and they're possible. And The Mishnah Berurah says, because Shema Hu Be'asmo Asat Tzitzis Be'Beged, because maybe he did it himself. And certainly you can't buy from him actual tzitzis, because maybe he made it. And then the Mishnah Berurah brings out an interesting case. Matzah talis mitzuyesus bashuk. Let's say you just found the talis, right, with tzitzis on it. You know, just chas v'shalom, you know, lying on the street. So, right, that would be a similar case as here. So the Chofetz Chaim says, kosher. It's okay. Why? Because, you know, like, I guess the idea is we assume, you know, that it's very unusual. Somebody probably dropped it, right? We assume a Jew dropped it, and then, well, again, we'll get into some more. Yeah, well, that's also a consideration. Right. Okay, we'll stop here for today. And tomorrow we'll talk about selling a talis to a goy, right? Or lending a talis to a goy. Somebody told me there's a big evangelical minister who wears a talis all the time. So it's in the Bible. So the big question will be, who sold it to him? But we'll talk about that tomorrow, blame that. Okay?